good to be in the house of the Lord. Children are dismissed. All right. We are continuing and coming to the end of our study through the book of John. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of John. We're going to be in John chapter 19. Have you ever thought to yourself, what events could cause a man to go to his death willingly? Not just willingly, but joyfully. It is the events of the gospel that can change a person to do that. It's the power of the gospel that changes people inside and out. And such is the story of a lot of people throughout history, including one of the early church fathers named Ignatius. Now, Ignatius was condemned to death because he professed Christ. And at the time, he was living in Antioch. He was next in line as the bishop after Peter. And as he made the trip from Syria to Rome, he preached under heavy guard. He preached to the churches he passed and asked the church in Rome not to try to save him. He was condemned to be thrown to the lions, and this is what he replied. He said, "I am the wheat of Christ. I am going to be ground with the teeth of wild beasts, that I may be found pure bread." How amazing. How amazing. The power of the gospel changes people. The Gospel of John was written between 90 and 100 AD. Scholars also believe that John wrote the three epistles in the book of Revelation around the same time frame as he wrote the Gospel. John chapter 19, verse 38. And it reads, I'll be reading out the New King James Version, and it reads, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury it. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden of a tomb in which no one had yet been laid. And so there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, and while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' And Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he might rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and she wept, and she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' And now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Teacher.' And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we know that in it we find life, and we find truth, and we find victory. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to walk in victory, walk in life, walk in truth, always, Lord. Lord, we ask that as we study your word, you would continue to change us moment by moment, day by day, year by year. We thank you, Lord, that through your word we are sanctified. We are made whole. Now, Lord, we pray for those that are not here, Lord, that are watching by YouTube and podcast. Lord, we pray that their lives would be changed as well. And I know there are many, Lord, who are out, but yet they are watching. They are traveling, but yet they are a part of us. And we pray for them and their mercies for traveling. And Lord, for those that you're calling here, but they are not here yet, Lord, we pray for those that your power and your glory would lead them here to be with us. We call them from north, south, east, and the west. Lord, we ask that you would bind the enemy for our sake, that you would keep the devourer away. And we praise you, Lord, in all things. In Jesus' mighty name, the strong Son of God, the church said,
Amen.
Well, today is all about the keys to sharing the gospel that we find in the resurrection. And when we're sharing the gospel, preparation is important. And it's all about him. And we must do things his way. First of all, let's talk about preparation. Preparation is important. Verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. And so they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. After Jesus' body was taken off the cross, Joseph of Arimathea, who is a disciple of Jesus, but is secretly a disciple, because he feared the Jews, it says. He feared the Jewish leadership. He goes to Pilate, and he asks for the body, and Pilate grants his request. Now Nicodemus, who is also a disciple of Christ, but he first came by night, comes also, and he brings a mixture of myrrh and aloes for the body. Jesus is buried according to Jewish custom, whereby strips of linen and spices are applied to the body for the burial. This was done in their mind as to see for the resurrection at the end of the days. They were trying to preserve the body, but our God is bigger than that. He don't care if you've been cremated. He don't care if you've been buried. He don't care if you've been prepared, mummified, whatever. Our God is going to raise us from the dead, those that are dead, at his return, that are his. Now this was a big deal for both Joseph and Nicodemus. And Jesus was a controversial, he was a political figure. And asking for this body could wreck Joseph's business and destroy Nicodemus' religious standing in the Jewish community. But they did it anyway. They saw what Jesus did for them on that cross, and they couldn't idly stand by and watch his body be put on a trash heap. That, by the way, is where traditionally what happened to bodies that were crucified. They were put on the trash heap. That's why they did what they did. But these men showed compassion. They showed reverence. Even if they didn't know the resurrection was coming yet. Jesus is laid in a new tomb where no one had been laid before. And a stone was placed in front of it. And this was not some little stone, some flimsy thing. It was big, it was round, and it was heavy. And you needed strong men to move this thing. Also, this wasn't a cheap proposition. This was a tomb of a rich man. the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, this is where they laid him. You see, they prepared the body of Christ, whether they knew it or not, for something that was about to take place. The preparation was important, and so it is with us when God calls us to do something. The preparation for what God has called us to do is important. We must prepare. Now, in this room, we know that Jesus will rise from the grave in 3 days, but what is the significance of that event? Well, in my research in Leviticus 16, it's prescribed that on one day each year, known as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest was to trade his beautiful priestly robes for the simple linen robes worn by his fellow priests. And what did the high priest do on the Day of Atonement? He went through the Holy of Holies, into the veil, past the veil, and he sprinkled blood on the altar, on the lid, known as the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, the 2-foot by 3-foot box that held the Ten Commandments. If this priest were defiled in any way, he wasn't coming out. He was a dead man. And later he'd have to be pulled out with a rope that they had tied around his ankle. But if he wasn't defiled, he'd walk out into the courtyard of the temple to the jubilant cries of the people who knew that they were forgiven for another year. That is a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our once-for-all sacrifice for our sins, and this kind of offering is no longer needed. He is our great high priest. He will emerge from that tomb, which shows us that we are free from the bondage of sin and death and have been translated into the kingdom of the Lord. We have been justified, just as we had never sinned. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. Folks, if you are not excited about what Christ has done, deep down in your spirit, you are dead and need Jesus. Saving faith is what it's all about. Number two, saving faith is what it's all about. John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, and he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. You ever wonder why we worship on the first day of the week? This is why. It's because Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. Here Mary goes to continue to take care of the body of Christ, which is in accordance with Jewish tradition. Only this day, when she visits, the heavy stone has already rolled away from the tomb. Now she's a bit freaked out. She has no idea what happened. So she assumes someone has taken his body and she runs to tell Peter and John, and then run to see it. And John gets there before Peter, but he doesn't go in. He just stoops down and looks into the place. Peter goes in because he's Peter, and he always runs into places where everyone else fears to go. He's got that, I need to get in there and get it done attitude. And what does he find? Well, they find strips of cloth lying in a heap, and the head covering folded and put neatly in another place. Now, these guys don't know the scriptures that say he must rise again. So, you know, they're a bit perplexed. They're vexed. And each of them go to their own homes afterward. Probably try to figure it all out and what it all means. It says John believed. John believed. But they're in shock. And you know how I know that they're in shock? Because they left poor Mary outside the tomb weeping. She's still standing there weeping, probably a little hysterical. And she's looking into the tomb. I want you to notice a spiritual process here. Number one, John, he came to the tomb and he saw the linen cloth lying there. He didn't go in. Number two, then Peter comes and he runs in and he studies the linen cloth and the head covering more closely. And number three, then they get the idea that, you know, something tremendous has happened here. This is not normal. You know, the same is true for us as we study the scriptures, as we apply faith to our lives, and as we progress in our faith. We're first shown a piece of information by a teacher, or we read it in the Bible. Then you give that information more thought down the road, don't you? And then finally, a moment comes when you really get it. That light bulb goes off. When it becomes not just a head knowledge and understanding in the mind, but a faith knowledge and understanding of the heart. And it becomes a part of your life. It becomes a part of who you are and what you're all about. That is the progression of faith. That is the progression of saving faith, too. If you've never had that progression, if you've had it in the head, but it's never really gone down the 18 inches to the heart, so to speak. And I'm not talking about the muscle. I'm talking about the inner man, the part of you that exists forever, the part of you that has faith. If it's never been there, then you're not saved. And you need Jesus. And as we progress in Christian life, you can read the same scripture over and over and over, and then one day the Holy Spirit comes in and you finally get it. You finally really get it. Man, I remember when I was a new Christian, I'd come to some of these older guys, these older pastors and teachers and whatnot. I'd say, have you read this? Do you get it? Yeah, we get it. Calm down there. You Christian convert, you're a little on fire. No, but you don't get it. I get it now. I understand it. I had a hunger for the word. That's what faith looks like. We must do God's will His way. We must do God's will His way. God's will is usually a little different than ours. And when we do get His will, we want to do it our way. Lord, Your will is that the nations be blessed and saved. And so we're going to just go out and do this program. And God's saying, I don't want to do that program with you. I want you to trust me. I want you to pray to me. I want you to worship me. Do it my way. You know, Frank Sinatra had a song named My Way. Well, his way probably got into hell. My way. Do it God's way, not my way. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and she wept, and she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting in there, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Folks, neither would you. You're thinking he's dead. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. So these men had already left the tomb, and they're bewildered. And when Mary looks in, she sees two angels, one at the head of where he had laid, and one at the foot of where he had laid. And they ask, why are you crying? And she responds that someone's taken Jesus' body, and she doesn't know where. She's distraught. She doesn't recognize Jesus is also standing there. Maybe it was too much for her to comprehend at that moment, but she thought he was a gardener. And Jesus calls her name, and she turns and immediately recognizes him finally. And Jesus says, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And then he gives her a task to do, and that is to tell the others that Jesus is risen and is ascending to the Father. Let me tell you something. To anybody who ever tells you it's the pastor's or the evangelist's or the teacher's responsibility to go out and evangelize, not mine, that's wrong. The first evangelist was a lay evangelist, and her name was Mary. She shared what Jesus had told her to share. Jesus always gives us a task to do once we recognize his sacrifice and resurrection. Once we have surrendered ourselves to him and become a believer, he gives us a task. Go and tell others about him. But pastor, I'm an introvert. Yes, so am I, believe it or not. I like nothing better than just sit home and read a book or watch a Star Trek movie or something of that nature, you know, something sci-fi. I'm an introvert. You know what? You got to do what I got to do. Get over it. Move on. Pray for strength. Go and tell others about Jesus. If you haven't been doing that task, then you're actually in sin. Did you know that? He commanded that we go and tell others. Will you do it? It's not optional. It's a command. Well, then what happens? Well, Mary tells the disciples, and they do what good Baptists do today, and they have a meeting about it. Okay? They form a committee, as it were. But they're still afraid of the Jewish leadership, and what do? Well, they don't have AC yet, and it's probably, you know, getting a little warm outside in the desert, and they close all the doors and windows. Yeah, that's a great idea, isn't it? And I can only imagine how it must have been in that room at that time, especially with a bunch of stinky fishermen. And, well, then what happened? Well, the same thing that happens when God wants to mess up our meetings today in our Baptist circles. He shows up. He just showed up right in their midst. You ever heard the phrase, man plans and God laughs? Yeah, that's kind of what happened here. Yeah, there's some truth to that. If your plans don't match up with God's plans, he's likely to come in and mess them all up. He's good at that. You're heading one way and you're saying, God, I'm never going to do this. God, scared. You're going to find yourself in front of people preaching if you don't stop it. God, I'm never going to preach again. Guess what? You're going to find yourself preaching again. God, I'm never going to teach Sunday school to three-year-olds. Guess what? You're going to be changing diapers with the two-year-olds for a while, probably. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it. He takes our plans and he says, I don't think so. Do it my way. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. What has God called you to do? Do it. Do it. You ever heard that Nike logo, just do it? Well, when it comes to the scriptures, guess what? Just do it. That's a Jesus logo right there. Just do it. When sharing the gospel, and I'm not endorsing Nike, so don't go around telling people, Pastor said I got to wear Nike shoes. It's inevitable that somebody will say that. It'll be on Facebook. Pastor Joe says you must wear Nike shoes. I wear Skechers. What can I tell you? When sharing the gospel, preparation is important. It's all about Him, and we must do things His way. When sharing the gospel, are you hearing me? Preparation is important. And it ain't about you, and it ain't about me. It's all about Him. And we got to do things His way. And His way is tell people about Jesus. Have those spiritual conversations. Remember the spiritual conversations? I still see some ping pong balls up here. Have a spiritual conversation. Write the person's name down. We'll pray over it every week. Put it in the who's your one up here? Who is your one? You know, at the end of the year, we're going to count those things, and you're going to tell me how many spiritual conversations you've had this year. And some of you are going to be like, wow, I had quite a few, even though I don't know who you are. And some of you are going to be like, wow, we didn't do so good. We don't want to be where God says, well, you're done. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, well, you made it by the skin of your teeth. Smell that fire. You're a little smoky, but you made it. Don't want to be that. Don't want to be that. Have spiritual conversations. Have spiritual conversations. What better conversation can you have than on the resurrection power of the gospel? Of Jesus Christ. As the ladies come and see, what better thing to talk about than the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Without the resurrection, there is no hope. We hope in vain. Simple as ABC. Admit. Admit what? That I'm a sinner? Yep, I did wrong. I have messed up. I haven't done the things I should do. I've done a lot of things I shouldn't do. Admit that you're a sinner. B, believe. Believe what? That Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived 30 years. For 3 years after that, He did signs, wonders, and miracles and proclaimed Himself the Son of God, the second in the Trinity, God Himself in flesh. Made manifest. And then He died on a Roman cross for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again. And He brought victory over death, hell, and the grave in that time. And see, confess. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. forgive my sins. I believe. Come into my heart. It's that simple. For the Bible says, believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will be saved. He also says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Indeed, do it right now. You're not promised tomorrow. Do it right now. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open it, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Have you done that? Have you made a profession of faith because you believe in your heart? Not just your head, but your heart. It's made that 18-inch journey. It's made that journey to the inner man. And you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. If you've never made that confession, send me an email if you're online. Tell me here. Tell everybody. You can do that today. I'll pray you through. I'll introduce you to Jesus if you'd like me to during this time. If you'd like special prayer, I'm up here for that too. I'll pray with you. Or two or three touching anything that shall be given to them. I can pray with you. If you'd like to join this church by letter, statement, or baptism, we can do that too. Today, here, in this place. As we stand and sing the invitation song.